I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live. It's only just a matter of. Welcome to Susie Larson Live. So honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, if you listen often enough, you know our favorite is Dr. Troy Sproul. We get him on the show once a month to talk about health in the healing process. And we're going to kick off today's conversation talking about a couple of things. The first one is maybe you've suddenly gained weight. You don't know why. So how do you kickstart your system? What are the reasons you're possibly not able to lose weight? And what can you do to get that thing going again? And then are there ways to kind of kick up and sustain your energy level? What's blocking your energy level? And what strategic things can you do so that you have a sustainable energy level throughout your day so you can show up in life in the best way possible? I do want you to know today's show is recorded. So we're not going to be taking questions. We've got a backlog of questions we need to take time to answer. So we're doing that today. So I want to get Troy on here in just a moment. A quick announcement. I'm asking you, commissioning you, praying that you'll be a radio/podcast missionary. When you hear shows like today's show and you're encouraged and you feel like your faith rises up or you learn something you didn't know, share it with a friend. Share it with a few friends. You know, it's a really wonderful, easy way to impart faith to someone else just by sharing a show. We make it very doable. About an hour after the show is over, the live show, it goes to podcast form, and you can find it on our website, myfaithradio.com, or on our app. Download that app for free, and we have an easy share button. Send it out, text it to some friends, and say, "This encouraged me. I think it's going to encourage you too." Be a radio podcast missionary. It will help so many people. You share a show, you change a life. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Troy Sproul is founder and CEO of Synapse Center for Health and Healing, located in Eagan, Minnesota. He started Synapse over 26 years ago with a vision to bring an integrative approach to healthcare through functional medicine, making Synapse an internationally known center for true health. Dr. Troy, welcome back.
Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
Looking forward to our conversation. I'm wondering, I know just because you're a friend and you and your wife and Kevin and I are in a life group together, I know this about you. You're pressing into the Lord like never before. And I think that's so powerful. So I want to just know, what's He been talking to you about these days?
Well, there's just a lot of focus and just a lot of just eyes on God and navigating challenging situations and scenarios by just being obedient and just listening, and it completely is a faith walk. It's almost like a minefield of decisions, and if you make the wrong decision, it can be very, very challenging outcomes because of that. So it's cautiously and carefully moving forward. It's just very deliberate. I don't know how else to say it. It's amazing. It's miraculous. It's amazing. It's awe-inspiring, and it's exhausting.
Exactly. Such a good word. The last time I interviewed Jamie Winship, he said he's just learned to lean in so deeply to the Lord that whenever he goes on mission to do the things God's calling him to do, he says, I know now. I know He's going to speak. I know He's going to move. I don't know what He's going to say. I don't know how He's going to move, but I'm okay with the mystery because I know that He will. And I feel like that has just stuck with me, Troy. I just like, I want to live in that constant holy expectancy, saying God is speaking. Daily the heavens pour forth speech. God wants us to hear Him, and He wants us to be about His business. So when we kind of get kind of a humble confidence and a dependence in that, then we just do what we can and we watch Him move. Then it's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's become less and less of me and more of Him. So more and more of God. And it's I couldn't say it any better.
Very powerful. Okay, so let's kick off our topic for today. Why do we suddenly gain weight? And then what keeps us from losing it again? And I know that's a multifaceted question, but let's just dig in and see where it takes us.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Most of the times, the simple way, it's kind of like we were talking about before too, when you have good communication, things are working really well. And so the focus with God and communicating with God directly and hearing back and forth, there's good outcomes that come from that. When there's a breakdown in communication, that's when we start to see some levels of dysfunction, and weight gain is no no different. There can be some challenges or things that can interfere with proper communication. So the number one reason, of course, that people tend to gain weight and not lose it is decreased activity to caloric intake, meaning you're eating more calories than you're burning off. So that's number one. But I don't want you to assume that that's the biggest block, because that's true for some people, but not for everyone. But there is a communication breakdown somewhere. Your cells, your body is not using the fuel or the food for energy like it should be. Some of the other things that can interfere. Oh, go ahead.
No, you please go ahead.
Well, some of the other things that can interfere with that is just having too much of a high glycemic diet, or foods that are high in sugar, or toxins from your environment or the foods that you're eating. Unclean foods are very, very common. And then hormone imbalances and food allergies and reactions. And there's a thing when we go through stress too, there's a component called metabolic switching, where your brain actually shuts down your muscles to protect your joints because of the stressors that you're under. So mental stress, sleep disorders can contribute to that quite a bit, and it legitimately causes a metabolic and neurologic switching where your brain is shutting down the body. It's kind of like driving the car with one foot on the gas and one foot on the brake, and so you end up getting this fatigue and this weight gain. And so it can be very disheartening for people who appear to be eating right, but the stress of life is taking a toll on them.
You know, one of these days we need to do a whole show on stress because I don't think we even fathom the impact on our health, our faith, our perspective, our relationships that stress has. So let's make a note for that for later because there's so much we could say about that, Troy. You know, another possibility, there are so many. I mean, you talked hormones, but you know, I've battled this mold toxicity because you've walked with me through it. But I have a friend who also, she's really kind of fine featured and never struggled with her weight and suddenly gained 30 pounds. And she wasn't feeling well at all, but she was an exerciser, ate pretty clean, but could not for the life of her figure out what was going on. And it turned out that her apartment was, and I think maybe her workplace, but anyway, she had repeated exposures to mold, and it was mold toxicity. And it was like as soon as she started to treat the mold, even though exercise and diet didn't change, that weight just fell right off. I mean, speak to that dynamic. Why does our body hold on to weight if we're exposed to mold, especially if you're someone who can't process it?
Well, mold in particular, Lyme can do this as well for some people, but the spores can actually attach to an area of our brain called the hypothalamus, and it can affect our hormones. And so there's one hormone in particular, which is leptin, which deals with fat storage. And so anytime an area of the brain kind of gets activated or stimulated, it'll start producing the hormone that it is supposed to make. So you can increase this hormone, leptin, and we also start to see a change in the hormone called antidiuretic hormone, specifically when it comes to mold. And so people start holding on to fat and water a little bit more with mold and Lyme. And it can also affect some of our other hormones, cortisol and insulin in particular. And so we can start to see insulin resistance, and not even mold, but even fungus or yeast like Candida can
Wow.
increase acid in the body, uric acid in particular, but it causes insulin resistance, which is a pre-diabetes type scenario, but it causes your body not to use sugar as efficiently as it should. So even if you're not eating a high glycemic diet, but you have mold or fungus, your insulin's not working as well. So even a low glycemic diet or the small amounts of sugar can become problematic.
Well, you know, I read an article that talked about how our kidneys respond to some of the issues in our soul. And, you know, when I wrote Fully Alive, I wrote this is years ago, but what happens in our soul happens in our cells. And it was talking about, you know, if someone feels abandoned, they may gain weight, like their body is holding on to fluids. If they feel isolated or cut off, if they feel like a refugee where they have no roots. And another one was existence. If your existence is somehow threatened, like you're threatened with a cancer diagnosis or something, and even if it's that a doctor suggests that and they're wrong, it cuts to the core of your existence. Those kind of things can throw your body into trauma and throw things off. Speak to that dynamic. Again, you know, so much of the show, Troy, we devote to inner healing, wholeness, because it's we're getting bombarded by the enemy, I feel like, at every turn. But talk about that dynamic.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to You have to be very, very careful about what you allow in your ears, number one. And so the enemy can get in through many different doors, and especially in today's age, there's just so much that can be made available. But even more so, be very, very careful about what you believe, because once you get to a point of having a belief system around anything, and when you're children, you don't really know that. So that's where a lot of the dysfunctional ones occur or start is from childhood. But you can have a self-limiting belief that can manifest itself internally into a disease process. And I actually wrote about this 23 years ago in my first book, where there was a self-limiting belief that I developed from childhood about just being a weak individual, because I was smaller and very various reasons why. Don't get the book; it's very outdated, so don't go buy it. But I spoke to how that started the process, and when I was in my 20s, I developed a muscle weakness disorder to the point where I was told I'd be in a wheelchair the rest of my life, which I'm obviously not. But if I believe what the doctor said, I believe today I'd be in a wheelchair being taken care of instead of running a functional medicine clinic. And so,
And caring for everybody else.
yeah, so a completely different outcome because I did not believe that lie. And we know who's behind lies, but when it comes to lies, just by identifying what is a lie, it can be a game changer for your health, because when you believe a lie, there will be some level of dysfunction that occurs within your body, whether it be through fear or through resentment or through anger or even just self-condemnation. You will be shocked how much that can manifest internally, because our brain influences our hormones and it influences our cells. And one of the things that you spoke to with just that article you're referring to, stress of any type will start to change how we manage the sodium and the potassium in our cells. That's one of the ways we actually find if a person's stressed, just from a normal panel, if their blood sodium is just a little bit too high and they're not eating a high salt diet or their potassium levels are off. We can actually tell on the traditional standard lab work if there's a stress scenario going on, where then all of a sudden their kidneys will start to affect that antidiuretic hormone, and people will have water retention and lymphatic retention beyond what they should, and it'll manifest with, 5 pounds here, 10 pounds there.
We're going to pause here for a moment. Self-limiting beliefs can turn into disease processes. I want you to hear that. Self-limiting beliefs can turn into disease processes. I still want to ask you questions about what do we do then? If someone's listening going, well, I don't know which of those scenarios applies to me, but they've gained weight, they don't know what to do, what steps can we take? I want to say as we go to break, Angie, our amazing producer, well, she's just training in to be able to step in because I've got a very full speaking schedule in the fall. So I'm going to toss it to Angie as she takes us to break.
Thanks, Susie. You're listening to Susie Larson Live. Today, she's talking with functional med doctor, Dr. Troy Sproul. Coming up, they're going to continue their conversation talking about weight loss and how knowing your numbers matters. We'll be back in just a moment.
This is a Faith Radio produced podcast. You can find out more about Faith Radio and get some really fun goodies if you sign up for our free welcome pack at myfaithradio.com. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to our good friend, Dr. Troy Sproul. He is the founder, CEO of Synapse Center for Health and Healing, joins us every single month to talk about health and the healing process. Today, we're talking about when you kind of get stuck, where all of a sudden you gain weight. You're like, what just happened here? I'm eating the same, exercising the same. What in the world just happened? And we've been talking about that. And Troy, before the break, was talking about it could be mold, it could be hormones, it could be stress. You'd be amazed the stress, how stress impacts your health. Could be a number of things. But now I want to move on to what's a person to do? Someone's listening today going, I'm not sure which of those things applies to me. What are maybe some next steps so they can get to the bottom of it? And then other steps they can take to help their body kick back into gear again.
Well, the first thing is to just look at your food, because that is one of the reasons and the main reasons why we gain weight. So you can go in and just there's so many apps out there that can track your calories, but if you track your calories and just you might be surprised, because some people say, you know what, I only eat one or two meals a day and I snack, and then we actually track their calories, and the one meal a day with a couple snacks is 3,500 calories, and they're only burning maybe 1,200 calories because they have a desk job. So something like that is very, very important. When it comes to running the clinic here, we have to know our numbers to be able to pay the bills. You know what I mean? It's like you have to have a budget and you have to have all the numbers. Otherwise, you could never keep the doors open. Well, it's the same thing with our bodies. We have to at least know our numbers. Now, it's not always fun to track your food and calories and stuff like that, but I think it in just even if it's for 2 weeks, you can get a sense of how well you're doing that way. Then you want to look at, are you actually having inflammatory reactions? One of the ways to know if you are overeating or if you're eating food that's inflammatory to you is if you change the diet by reducing the amount of food that you consume and or pull out some of the inflammatory stuff. If your bowel habits change, if they slow down or speed up, that's a sign that what you were doing before was excessive. And so the second part of it is to always just reduce inflammatory food, which is number one, sugar is the most common inflammatory food with alcohol, coffee, and then processed foods. After that, it can get a little trickier. Some people will try and improve their exercise and start exercising. If you, especially if you enjoy it and it feels good for your brain, then keep doing it. Some people exercise in the beginning and they actually feel a little worse. That can be okay too, but I caution people, if you don't like to exercise, don't be cursing the treadmill the entire 30 minutes or 60 minutes you're on it. That's not going to be helpful. You want to bless that time and be blessed. So you have to watch what you speak into your exercise routine. And then sometimes it's just bad habits. Like sometimes we get home and we just crash. And one of my favorite studies that was done was just taking an individual, two people, and they switched friend groups. And the guy who was, there was one of them who was obese and the other one was good healthy weight. And when they switched friend groups, the healthy weight individual gained 20 pounds and the obese person lost 35 pounds. So that, and the main difference was just the habits, really. Bowling and having drinks with bowling versus going for a hike or a bike and or walks. And so just different, it was just different activity levels. And
You know,
so nothing will change a bad habit better than creating a new routine.
wow. Nothing will change a bad habit better than creating a new routine. And when I was in college, I read a similar study. And really, the point of that particular study, this was many years ago, was really what you're normalizing, like who you walk with, what do they normalize? So if you're hanging around with a bunch of people that binge drink or binge eat or binge whatever, and it gets normalized, your context is that, and you lower your standard to theirs. You will. Like our pastor always says, you want to wonder where you were going to be in 5 years? Show me your friends today. And that's just true. So I love that, creating new habits, but also paying attention to your context. What are you subjecting yourself to? Or who are the people you walk with? Are they hungry for health and healing and holiness? Or are they pulling you down? You know, a couple other thoughts too, is when you think about, like there was a power builder that I talked to recently, and he said he's a like a world-class power builder, and he's a big giant. He looks like a sumo wrestler. He's really big. And so when he wanted to get into the upper class, when he wanted to gain weight, he ate the same amount, but he reduced it to a couple of meals. He said, you know, I put my body in famine, so it thought it was in famine, so I held on to those calories. When he wanted to get to the lower class, he ate the same amount, but he broke it up into smaller meals to convince his body, you're not in famine. That's how he managed his weight. Don't you think that's interesting?
No, it's brilliant. Yeah, because that's more the routine. So that's there are times when intermittent fasting works really well for people, and then there are times when you have to break it up and eat the same amount of food slowly throughout the day. And the most important thing is go ahead and try it either way and see how you do and how you feel. But you've got to give it time. So when you do these things, you want to give it at least 21, 28 days. People will do things for 3 days and say, oh, that didn't work. It doesn't quite work like that, because 3 days is just enough time to induce a detox reaction.
Yeah. So if you feel worse,
yeah,
you might be moving forward. Your detox is moving forward. It gets worse before it gets better sometimes. And oftentimes people touch on that and go, no, this for sure was bad for me. But you've got a lot of stuff stored up in there. And I think to be able to press through and get a vision to get past it. You know, you said don't curse your treadmill. I just want to say don't curse your body either. I think I don't think we realize it goes back to your analogy of one foot on the gas, one foot on the brake, that when our body, it feels like it betrays us, or when it suddenly doesn't look like we wished it did, it used to, or even you compare yourself to the Instagram images, enemy will do anything he can to get us to curse our lives, curse our bodies, curse our stories. And you'd say a word about that, because there, again, is a physiological component to what you're saying to yourself about yourself.
Absolutely, because we are meant to be in this world, but not of it. And we are meant to represent God's image. And Satan does not like God's image. So he's going to do everything he can to rob and steal that from us. So don't believe the lies that come in from all these other places. And it's a lot of times we don't even know that there's a lie we're believing. But I'll share a little secret. There's an easy way to find out if you believe a lie that Satan has gotten in there some way. If you ever hear yourself throw out an excuse, then you know that there's a lie in there, because an excuse is nothing more than a reason wrapped in the skin of a lie. And if you can identify that lie, then you can help change everything. And the most successful people in life, regardless of what they do, they take 100% responsibility for their life, for their results. And that means there are no excuses, which means there are no lies that they're buying into. So it's very, very important to identify those lies and to not allow them to come in, but also don't create them ourselves.
Yeah, so good. You know, another way too to identify if you're, so that's about believing a lie about yourself. One way to know if you're believing a lie about God is if you can finish this statement: I'm not worth rescuing, I'm not worth healing, I'm not worth saving, I'm not worth marrying, whatever that, identify it and go to bat and put that thing under your feet. We're going to pause here, but I want to just challenge you, if you've been cursing your body, repent of that, ask God forgiveness and say, Lord, forgive me. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. My temple is, you know, I'm the temple of the living God. I'm made in the image of God. Therefore, I bless my body. I love my body. That may sound weird, and it's not supposed to be this humanistic thing, but it is to counter all the ways the enemy has tried to get you to curse your body. I think that's super important. Now, when we come back, we'll talk energy strategies. More great conversation up ahead with Dr. Troy. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, having a really great conversation with our good friend, Dr. Troy Spurrell, who joins us every month to talk about health in the healing process. And we've been talking a lot today about what happens when you suddenly gain weight. You don't know why. You're eating the same thing, exercising the same way, or maybe you're not. Maybe if you're honest, you'd say, actually, no, I've been so stressed. I've been binge watching and binge eating. But either way, how do we kickstart things? That's what we've been talking about. But when we went to break, the conversation took an interesting turn about cursing our body. And as women, we tend to do this. I think men might as well, but I know we as women for sure, especially if you've battled chronic health, or you have struggled with your weight, or you've had mental illness, mental health issues where you've been depressed, anxious. It is so tempting to curse yourself. And truly, there's a physiological response. Our body is responding when we're doing that because we're wired for love. And during the break, Troy and Angie and I were talking about how Troy's like, the opposite of cursing your body is gratitude, thanking God for it. And I love that, because what the opposite in the world's eyes is to make an idol out of your body. And I think maybe that's why Christians have thought it noble to curse your body because the world, well, it's making an idol out of the body. And Troy, let's just talk about that for a moment, because there's always a counterfeit with the enemy, always. And I think as Christians, we so buy into the opposite lie. Well, if they're making an idol, then it's somehow noble for me to trash myself and call it humility. But true humility is a harnessed strength that offers thanks. So speak to that, if you would.
Yeah, absolutely. You see it time and time again. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. But essentially, what Satan's trying to do is take everything away that God created. Like he's trying to pervert God's creation. That includes us. And so any way he can kind of misdirect us on God's creation, he's going to do that. And so gratitude, thanking God for the body he gave us, and in its perfect form, it's communicating fully, mentally, chemically, and physically. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And that's why we get a new body when we go to heaven and we get to be with God, because that's how it was originally designed. And that's how we want to take care of it now. And they don't call it a temple in scripture for no reason. God, it's a gift from God that he gave us. And he put just such a touch to actually be created in his image is just a phenomenal blessing. And so the fact that we're just doing this imperfect walk and we're failing forward, striving for righteousness, but just falling short, just the fact that he also sent his son and to cover that gap for our imperfections and our sin nature and everything, it all should just lead towards gratitude for God.
Absolutely.
It all should just, it's just no wonder people just get up and they just praise and worship when they get up to heaven. I mean, it would be nonstop to go from what we are going through here to just that new body, and just you will understand it fully, I'm sure, when you're in his presence then.
So beautiful. Thank you for that. So friend, if the reason you've gained weight is too much output, or you know, too much input, not enough output, just make that adjustment. If you think it might be mold, if you're feeling sluggish, you've got brain fog, memory issues, you might want to take some steps to get that checked out. Also, hormones, might be worth getting a hormone panel done just to see where things are at. If you know in your knower you're not managing stress well, that is affecting your body's processes, ask God to help you and make some changes. It's absolutely worth it. So let's move on now, if we can, to energy strategies, sustainable energy strategies. What are some kind of hacks or things we can do to keep our energy level where it should be so we can do our life the way God intended?
Yeah, there's a few I'll kind of name off here. This is not an exhaustive list, but there's quite a bit on here. And again, if you can improve your energy or sustain your energy, that will feed into some of the weight loss stuff we just spoke about. The first one, though, you've probably heard me speak about this more than anything else, but sleep hygiene. Just Amen. Getting good, deep, quality sleep is really important for a lot of people when it comes to their weight. And there's a couple things that I just want to talk about. A lot of people think sleep apnea is from being overweight, which it is, but you can actually get central sleep apnea as a thin person who then gains weight. Or tongue ties is something that you can have as a child, and they can actually contribute to weight gain and sluggish energy as an adult. So dental appliances, sleep hygiene includes just a good, peaceful, relaxing area for you to get deep restorative sleep. And that includes not watching your screen before going to bed. That includes maybe things like a weighted blanket, a clean bedroom. It's very, very important. I love pets. I really do. But they should not sleep with you in bed. They just shouldn't, because they can disrupt sleep. I have more people come in with problems because they have their pets with them. And that also includes, I'm lumping together 2 and 3 year old children and pets together in the same category.
Your pet toddlers also keep you up at night.
They do. Yeah. Just Google some of the pictures of the feet and the face and the just flopping around all night. So that's very important. And speaking of that too, sorry guys, but if you snore quite a bit, it's not just your sleep that you're disrupting.
That's
it's
right.
Also the person next to you. So it's also your wife and that maybe the kids down the hall. So it's important to know that the sleep hygiene is just so crucial for energy. We need restoration every night to have good, sustained energy for the next day.
If I could throw something else in there, is a cool bedroom, you know, turning your heat down to 67, 68. I can't even believe what a difference that has made. And I know we've talked about this in the past, but there's some studies of people who chronically deal with insomnia. Their body heat, their body just heats up more than the average person. And there are those helmet things you can put on. They're soft, but they're super expensive. But I found something on Amazon. It's for people with migraines. It's got a cool gel thing. $15, $20. Put it in the freezer, and at night you can slip it over your head. It covers your eyes, and it just instantly cools your whole body down. I was doing that, Doc, when I was trying to get into a sleep mode. And finally, I'm sleeping now. But it is amazing. There are things like that. And even your light therapy. We've talked about this. Your light exposure in the morning and your light exposure at night. I mean, love your sleep enough to go after it and get to the bottom of why you're not sleeping, right?
Absolutely. And I personally, my wife and I will use a weighted blanket, and we keep our room at 65. So in the wintertime, it's easy. Yeah.
Wow. And yet you're under a weighted blanket. So that just sort of kind of closes you in a little bit. And
Yep.
Cool. Awesome. Well, I noticed when I wasn't sleeping, I needed a nap, a short nap, but like a half hour, 20 minute nap before I did the live show, because I was sleeping. I was functioning on 2 hours a night, and it was torture. And so it was just, I was barely getting through. But once I started to sleep, I'd actually would do a second, like I would just get on the treadmill for 15, 20 minutes early afternoon. And it was like a cup of coffee. You know, I gave up coffee, but to me, sleeping and then being able to do a brisk walk in the early afternoon, that was something that kickstarted energy. Anything else you can think of that would be super helpful?
So praise and worship can kickstart energy. Yeah. So you sing out loud, like you're in the shower, but it does not matter. My stepdaughter was just at a medical appointment in her hometown there. And she started singing praise and worship in the waiting room, and like three or four people joined in and just started singing. And just think about that for a second, how all of a sudden the energy in the room shifted. And so she felt better. I myself will do push-ups, especially between 1 and 3 p.m. if I'm busy and stuff, just 10, 20, 30 push-ups to just activate the blood flow. Another thing is clapping your hands. So
really,
my staff thinks I'm a little nuts, but I will just kind of clap my hands over and over and over, and it kind of gets you going. You can change your energy state, even if you're sitting there. If you're driving, don't do this, but if you're listening at home, just clap your hands 60 seconds, and then another 90 seconds after that. And put your arms above your head like you're cheering. And if, you know, whatever it is, if you've got praise and worship on, or if you're just in silence, go ahead and do that. And you'll be surprised by just changing your blood flow, how it can actually affect your energy and even your mindset as far as feeling sluggish or a little bit of depressed. There's a lot you can do to shift your physical being and your mental being just by just actively singing and praising and worshiping, or clapping your hands, or doing something physical like a push-up.
Let's talk about something that may seem counterintuitive for the type A, highly driven, high cortisol output person. A couple of things. One, deep breathing. You've talked about this on the show before. When you're getting oxygen, when you're slowing down, actually, when you're high, you don't feel like you got time. I ain't got time to bleed, or whatever that thing is. When you slow down and you're filling your belly with oxygen, talk about the difference, because oxygen is energy and it's life. So say a word about that.
Yeah, really, there's only two things you first need more than anything to keep your brain and your cells alive. All of our energy, which is called ATP in the body, uses two things, oxygen and glucose. And then all the other things are cofactors and minerals that help make that process work, all the B vitamins and the magnesium and things like that. Those are cofactors that help us use oxygen and then glucose for energy. So we know how important oxygen is, because if you go 10 minutes without it, you're basically in trouble. So all of our cells use that that process. So that's why when it comes to anything, you want to make sure you're getting oxygen first. And when there's a breakdown of oxygen delivery in the body, we call that, when it's the blood cells, we call that anemia. And anemia can cause all kinds of different problems, but energy is one of the main ones, or fatigue is one of the main ones we see with just low blood oxygen levels from anemia. Or blood pressure is too high, that can cause lack of oxygen delivery. So a lot of the problems that we see with a lot of the diseases comes from your body not getting enough oxygen.
Talk to, I'm thinking again of the type A high cortisol output person, because those people, I mean, I've been one, but I really have changed my whole approach and because of this, and it's made such a difference in my overall stamina through the day when you take your foot off the pedal for a while. But there's something called, I think it's NSDR, non-sleep deep rest. And again, that seems counterintuitive to the racer, but to slow down maybe 15 minutes, do that deep breathing, put on some instrumental music, and get into a place where you're resting deeply. You're not sleeping, but your body's given a chance to recharge. I mean, someone again may not think they may think it's counterintuitive, like, how is that going to give me energy? But talk about that dynamic and how helpful that is, especially for the person who's racing too hard.
Well, it does, because it starts to settle things out. So, for example, when you're racing too hard and you're in fight or flight, think of it this way. If you're go, 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 your brain is sending all the signals to your arms and your legs. So if a tiger's chasing you, that makes sense. So if you're, but your brain will do the same thing if you're go, go, go all the time. So if you're not in fight or flight, then you get into what's called rest and digest. That's where the healing occurs. So if you're always exercising your muscles but never giving it time to heal, you're just always tearing down your body. So you have to have those moments to rebuild. And that's the genius of what how our body is designed is our cells, really, all of them break down. Our red blood cells break down every 143 days. So you have completely new red blood cells being made and are replaced with whatever raw ingredients you have in your body as far as what you've been eating. But we have to get into the repair process, which means we have to have that rest and digest phase.
Any other strategies for sustaining your energy? Maybe like dark chocolate or anything?
Oh, wishful thinking.
But anything else come to you?
Yeah, so one of the tricky ones that really gets people, especially today's age. When my great grandmother was around, when she got into upper 90s, they were shocked that she was not on any medications. But I'm just going to say this: always look up the side effects of your medications. I can't tell you how often people come in with fatigue or weight gain, and it's a side effect of their medication, and they had no idea. So the side effects of medications, that's not on the doctor to know what to do with it. That's on you. Everyone, look at the side effects of your medications. And see if any of your symptoms with low energy or weight gain are on that list. And I'm telling you, once you bring it to the attention of your doctor, it'll be very, very important. I learned years ago, someone, it was an accountant who sent this to me. He said, the biggest mistake most people have in business is thinking that their accountant will be in charge of their profits or their accounting, basically, and they're really not. The accountant's job is just to document the information, especially for a lot of small businesses. Well, that's true for doctors too. Doctors are so overworked and overwhelmed right now, they can't catch all of the side effects of the medications right away. It's really up to the patient to identify that and bring that to their doctor. So that's
Well,
a big one.
important. Yeah,
Yep.
taking some responsibility, due diligence, because sometimes medicines are interacting with other medicines and causing greater problems, and you feel crummy. And so it is so important. Ask God to help you with that, but dig into that. Very worth it. On the other side, I want to talk about types of exercise for weight loss, types of exercise for the season of life that you're in. As I mentioned, our dear Angie is going to be stepping in as guest host in the fall when I travel for some speaking events. So I'm going to toss it to her to take us to break.
Thanks, Susie. You're listening to Susie Larson Live. Today we're talking with Dr. Troy Sperl. More great conversations coming up in a moment.
Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com.
And this is God.
glad to have you listening today to Suzy Larson Live, talking to our good friend, Dr. Troy Spurrell. He is the founder, CEO of Synapse Center for Health and Healing, located in Eagan, Minnesota. Today, we've had a super interesting conversation about weight loss. Why are you gaining weight when you maybe haven't changed anything? Could it be stress, hormones, mold? What could it be? And then what are some sustained energy strategies to keep your energy level up? I want to use this last segment to talk about exercise. There's several things I want to delve into. I want to talk about aerobic versus anaerobic, but also, you know, I remember when I worked in fitness for all those years, I don't remember what the exact stat is, and things seem to be changing all the time, but I remember something like this, Troy, where they said, if you add something like 3 pounds of muscle to your frame, you'll naturally burn, by way of an increase in metabolism, 13 pounds of fat per year, something like that. Where we tend to think, go cardio, cardio, cardio all the time if you want to lose weight. But a more strategic way really is to add some muscle to your frame. Maybe just speak to that dynamic.
Yeah, absolutely. So it is shocking how just 5 to 10 minutes of muscle activity can outperform aerobic exercise. Now, there are definitely a lot of benefits to aerobic exercise as well, but using the muscles becomes more important, especially as we age. We want to be able to actually have our muscles be contracting more. So without muscles, muscles just burn more calories than fat. And so there's just a lot more benefit to muscles. Muscles stimulate your brain. Fat actually shut it down. Fat equals inflammation. And so there's a big difference when it comes to just cognition and being able to focus and getting things done. It's very, very important to get that muscle, those muscles contracting. But I'm also going to say getting some aerobic in there is crucial. But most people don't overthink it. If you do 5 to 10 minutes of muscle exercise a day using a different muscle group every day, and then just do some aerobic exercise 20 minutes twice a week, that's usually plenty. So we're talking less than a full hour and a half a week of exercise can be enough to maintain everything with a normal schedule.
It would probably put you into the top 15% of people as far as exercise goes, if you were to have that kind of regularity. So let's talk for a bit about the benefits of cardio and the benefits of strength. And there's also stretching in there, balance. Those things are super important for your frame, your health, and your brain and all that. But cardio, you know, there's the energy systems of aerobic and the anaerobic. And the anaerobic is you're getting up into that energy system where it's a sprint. It's like a burst, that kind of thing. And the aerobic is kind of that, what they say is the fat burning zone. But there are benefits, as you say, to walking briskly, running, biking, because you're pushing your lymph system to detox, and you're improving your cardiovascular strength and endurance. So talk about some of the benefits of cardio and why it is good to do some cardio.
Yeah, exactly. You kind of just nailed it there. The one of the things that we actually measure here at the clinic is the arterial stiffness and the elasticity of the arteries. And that's what cardio does. So the aerobic will help the cardiovascular system. But remember, our arteries are muscles, smooth muscle. They're different than the skeletal muscles, but they're muscles. And so if you don't exercise your muscles, what happens? They atrophy.
Use it or lose them, right?
Yep, use them or lose them. So you have to get the blood flowing through all areas of your body, your hands, your feet, the brain. You want to use them all. And the way you do that, when you aerobically exercise, it's one of the best things to just increase the blood flow everywhere. Now, one of the ways you can tell if you're starting to get compromised on that, other than being out of breath when you're running, is whether or not you can get to a point of sweating. If you can't get to the point of sweating, then you've compromised, your lymph system has been compromised to the point where aerobic challenges, or you're aerobically in trouble, I'm going to say. So
what does that mean?
There's a caveat here, because some people are in such good shape, it just takes a lot more to get them to sweat. But if you know you're not in that great shape because you haven't been exercising, but you still can't sweat, it means that things are blocked. So a lot of times, like lymph literally means, is Greek for fast flowing river. If your river is more like a lava stream, your muscles may be pushing up against that, but you got to break that up first before you can get things to flow. So you're not getting the circulation to the level of the skin. So you're going to have this little surface of or section of skin and dermis, and the blood vessels are kind of atrophying right up to the surface. So they're not getting, the capillaries are just not getting all the way to the skin itself. And then you've got other risk factors associated with that, from anything from, you know, skin disorders, eczema, to skin cancers in some people. And so it's important to just keep those blood vessels going. And if you can't aerobically do it, then you can do skin brushing and just increase the blood flow from the outside of the body.
Infrared sauna.
Infrared sauna, massages, mm-hmm. even self-massages. Mm-hmm. You can rub your own arms, rub your own legs. There's a lot you can do to start to increase that circulation.
Okay, so that's cardio. Let's talk about the benefits of strength, because again, you know, they talk about weight-bearing exercises. It's use it or lose it. You want to be able to walk. You want to be able to do squats. You want to do things to not only strengthen your muscle, but strengthen your bones. So speak to that.
Yeah, there's something called Wolf's Law that basically means when your muscles are pulling a tensile force on your bones will lay down more calcium to keep that that bone stronger. So it's kind of like muscles. If you don't use it, you'll lose it. And so the only way to do that for bone health is to have the muscles pull on the bones. And so it's very important for osteoporosis prevention to keep your muscles contracting. And again, nothing will use sugar up better than muscles. So it helps with insulin resistance. It helps burn calories. And like I said before, when you do the weightlifting, the resistance training, that actually stimulates the brain, because all the nerve endings in the middle of the muscles are called muscle spindles. They will send signals up to the subconscious part of the brain called the cerebellum, and then the conscious part of the brain. And that activity in the cerebellum then gets all excited and will start delivering more blood flow to the other key areas of the brain, including the brainstem, which then controls your digestion and controls your other organs. So you get this net benefit from physical exercise, from resistance training, of increased blood flow to the area of the brain that really takes care of a lot of your internal organs.
Boy, it's so important. As you get older, you're losing muscle tone. So, and I often say it takes energy to make energy. So if you're willing to, you know, have a plan that actually works for you, and don't do too much too soon, but do something. I mean, Troy, you and Christine have talked about this on the show before, so I'm not divulging anything, but you guys have a little 10-minute thing you do every morning. And that's, you know, net some incredible health benefits for you guys.
Yes. Yeah. We're currently not in that routine, but we
but
do.
But now that I've reminded you, you're going to get
you
back
said
at
it on air in front of everybody.
Be kind of rude not to do it now, Troy.
Time to get back to it.
Well, we just got about a minute and a half, but this is something else we may want to address on another show. But also, like for me, I was a cycler. I am still, but I was so hard, so fast, even when I was sick, because it just did something for me. But it was not good for my adrenals and whatever. So to move over to emphasize daily, for me, more strengthening and lengthening exercises that really require patience and slowing down, and I'm focusing on form, I can tell how healthy that is for me mentally, emotionally, physically. And then I'm on the bike 2 times a week or so. But just flipping that script for me was, and it was like I had to lay my ego down, to be honest with you, because it's like I have to back off of this intense riding. So I'm slower now. I don't have the endurance that I used to, but I'm stronger. And just maybe say a word about that, because there, for different seasons, you might want to make adjustments, because we're such creatures of habit.
Absolutely. And just I want to say it this way. We have upper and lower thresholds. If you don't do enough, it's going to be ineffective. If you do too much, there might be you might be exceeding your capacity. So that's, especially in our youth, it's important to push our limits so that we can break it down and build it back up. But as we get into each decade, we want to limit how often we exceed what we can physically handle and manage. So just really identify what are your upper and lower limits and pay attention. And that can change. I like to give things like days and even a week or two before making a final decision on something when it comes to whether or not it's good or not. But in the moment, if you feel like you've kind of exceeded what you can handle, but you recover and the next day you feel amazing, that was a good thing.
As always, such great conversation, Troy. Thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Such good conversation. I pray that you found some encouragement here. Don't forget to share this show with a friend. God bless you, and we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.